Well, welcome everyone. Thanks so much for coming to celebrate and acknowledge the hard work that we're all doing in support of this community. This is a really important group of people and really deserving of the recognition of the hard work that we put in. This is our second annual gathering for this occasion. It's not the second time we've done it. We had these back before COVID on a fairly regular basis, and then we adapted. And then this is part of getting back into the habit of coming together and really celebrating this group and what we contribute to this community and how we drive and continue the practice together. So I invite you to kind of look around the room and look up on the screen. These are the people that really help to put our events together, to answer questions, to organize the organization behind the scenes, really every facet of our programming involves all the people in here. And we could not do this without y'all's support. So it's touching to have everybody here and to acknowledge all the hard work that we've done for our love for this community. And also think of all the people that aren't able to join. A Saturday mid-afternoon is not necessarily the easiest time for many, many people. So there's, probably three times the amount of people on screen and in the room that are also behind the scenes helping to make this community flourish the way that it does. So, deep, deep gratitude for all of you here and for all those people that couldn't make it here to be with us today. So I'm going to do a quick little overview of the schedule, and then we'll be off to the races. So Tim's going to lead us in a meditation after I finish going over this. I'll offer a short Dharma talk, and Tim will also offer, and we'll have some time for questions or sharing. And then we're going to open it up a little bit to allow our volunteer leads to talk about what their teams have been up to, share appreciation statements, give any updates about what they're doing. If there's time and the will for it, people can share what they're excited about for this year volunteering. And then we'll do some closing statements before we adjourn. And we've got tea and treats set up in the other room so we can spend a little more time chatting and spending time together. So again, thank you all for coming and celebrating with us. This is really wonderful. Tim, can I hand it off to you?
Sure. All right, just to add my words of welcome to Adam. Thank you, Adam, and thank you all for being a part of Seattle Insight, what helps us stay as alive and flourishing as an organization. So I'll offer a meditation here for about 20 minutes. So just beginning by getting comfortable, settling into the chair, cushion, whatever your support is today. Since volunteering is such an expression of community, of Sangha, beginning by sensing into the Sangha that's here today. People here in the room, people online. Sensing into their presence. And each one of us comes from a diverse background, different life experiences, life path. And yet we join together here in this uniting intention of serving the Dharma, of supporting the Dharma to be heard, to be received, and to create the container for a Sangha to grow and thrive. So connecting with this common shared intention. To give back, to benefit, to be of service. This is a lived expression of loving kindness and wisdom. As we understand more and more deeply the causes of suffering and the release of suffering. And naturally our hearts move toward wanting to alleviate, to see clearly, to open our hearts, and to connect beyond our differences and our divisiveness. So with this quality of intention, letting that start to permeate. Permeate within the room that you're sitting in. And touching each person here. Those online, those here in the room. This essential quality of well-wishing, of kindness. Of non-harm. Gently inviting that to extend to all beings here. And including yourself in that, receiving as much as giving. Receiving the warmth of heart, receiving this intention of kindness, of non-harm. And we can expand, as Adam mentioned, to all the other volunteers here at Seattle Insight. All the people that you have worked with, those on committees, on boards, hosting a Monday night or a Thursday night, Sunday, non-residential, a day long. All the people behind the scenes who send out emails and help the website function. All the planning. All the care that is put into this offering of the Dharma. Letting all those beings be included in this field of growing metta. And the existence of Seattle Insight today was the result of volunteers in the past offering their service also. So gently inviting this quality of metta to include those beings all the years and decades prior. All the board members, all the volunteers, from a tea yogi to all the way to a board member. People you may know well, perhaps never even heard their names, yet their actions, their energy allowed Seattle Insight to continue to grow, to deepen. Allowing this to extend into the future also. The people around you, all the current volunteers, how they will continue to serve the Sangha, to serve the Dharma. And all the volunteers yet to come. And the possibility of the Dharma continuing to deepen into the far future. Letting this growing field of metta include all these beings. The past, the present, and the future. And including the Sangha, who we serve. We know from our own experience the profound transformation that Dharma practice can have. And providing the environment, the structure, the container, the emails and registration lists, a cup of tea, all of these help support people in opening to the Dharma themselves. This vast number of the Sangha. Inviting them also into this field of metta, of well-wishing. Can be helpful to breathe life into this reflection, picturing the yogis that you directly contact and meet. Perhaps it's greeting them at the door, replying to an email. Perhaps it's all the ones who read the newsletter or the website or see a sign on the door. All these little actions reach out and touch, inspire, open the door of the Dharma. In the same way, letting this field expand to all those beings who've ever come through the door of Seattle Insight. Nearly 30 years of the Dharma being available, open and accessible. The benefit touching each person can spread in ways which are immeasurable and vast. And all those beings into the future who may come to listen to a talk, may come to a tea social, may connect with the KM group or intro class, but most of all connecting with the Sangha that is Seattle Insight. Letting that echo also extend into the future. And finally, allowing the metta to expand beyond boundaries, beyond the Sangha of Seattle Insight, the volunteer Sangha, and the general Sangha, to all beings in all directions. The forward direction, the backward direction, to the left, to the right. Inviting a wordless quality of metta, or offering phrases if you prefer. May you be safe and protected. May you be peaceful. May you live with ease. And continue to offer metta for about 5 more minutes. In the last few moments, as metta continues to echo out in all directions, just reflecting on the benefit, the gratitude to what you have received personally from learning the Dharma, from being supported in the Dharma. And how that benefit is shared by so many beings through Seattle Insight. And each one of us is a critical part of that. So a deep appreciation for your own service, your own care. This willingness to share in a very concrete way the benefit of your practice through volunteering. May all beings be safe and protected. May all beings be peaceful. May all beings live with ease.
I was just on vacation with my family for 3 weeks, and the universe blessed me with 3 weeks of incredible good health and good luck traveling and all sorts of wonderfulness, and then it decided it was time to pay the piper this week. And things were a little bit different than I expected, as things usually are, and so I'm a little less polished than I would hope to be, but I'm really excited to share some thoughts that I have with you all on the practice of generosity and dana, which is what volunteering here is. It really is the practice of dana, and it's such a vital, important part of not just providing the container, as Tim said, for practice, but as part of our practice in, you know, embodied practice as well. And I'm really excited to share with you kind of how that feels to me and how I think it shows up. So I don't know if you've noticed this, but our practice with Donna is really working. Like, we have been hosting more events in the last year, and in the year previous, we were also ramping up. I was going to, part of the polish that I'm missing, actually look at the numbers, because I'm a numbers guy. I love looking at numbers. But to compare the attendance, but what I've noticed on Monday nights is that the rooms are really packed, and there's usually like 60-ish people online. And so what I'm seeing is people are showing up. They're here and they're hungry, right? So the work that we're putting in is really expanding the community, and the community is showing up. And, you know, I've got some thoughts on why that might be, that kind of tie into this year's theme of transcendental transcendental dependent arising. Because I think that the current events are creating a lot of need for places like Seattle Insight. You know, we're living in times that are deeply troubling, and that creates a lot of suffering. And so we have this place that we have co-created, this place of refuge, where people can come with the suffering that they're experiencing and engage with faith in a way of saying, like, there is maybe a way to engage with this differently. Maybe I can hold this or turn towards it, or maybe just learn a little bit more from people who want to spend time doing this in an intentional, different way. So, and with the Sangha coming together, with all of the offerings that we help to support, we do create this long-standing refuge of Sangha in the community. And I spent some time thinking about, you know, what really allows Sangha to be a refuge? You know, it is undoubtedly so, but like, what is it about the Sangha that creates this place of safety? And I think that it has a lot to do with connection through generosity. Many of you, maybe all of you met my kids. I was up in the Skagit Valley reading a book to them about 2 months ago. And I was like, oh, I'm going to use this for my talk at the volunteer appreciation event because it's so spot on. The book is called Stone Soup, which I'm certain many of you are very familiar with. But in the story, the youngest brother, there's three brothers traveling together, and the youngest brother turns to his oldest brother and says, "What makes one happy?" And the oldest replies simply, "Well, let's find out." And they are wandering and they approach a village. And they, you know, they don't know this from up on the mountain, but they're looking down, and what they don't know is that it's been ravaged by war and famine and natural disasters, and the people within the village have turned to suspicion of the outside world and indeed to each other. And that sounds kind of familiar right now. You know, lots of natural disasters, political upheaval, war, and it's really hard to get along sometimes. And so when they arrive, the doors are all shut, and the people aren't even peeking out the windows, and the brothers come into the center of the town. And one child approaches them out of curiosity to see what they're doing as they start gathering wood and a small pot. And I think this is beautiful too, because I think that there are two drivers that bring people to the Dhamma. One is their suffering and the other is curiosity. You know, a sense of there is something else going on and I'm curious to know more about what it is. So this little girl's curiosity brings her to the brothers. And she says, "What are you doing?" And, "Oh, we're making stone soup, but this pot won't do very much." And she says, "Well, I've got a bigger pot, so I'm going to go get it." And so she starts the seed of generosity by rolling out this big pot. And her mother comes out and says, "Well, what's going on here?" And offers a little salt and pepper for the soup. And soon another neighbor kind of looks out and says, "You're really making soup from stones?" And comes and takes a look. And they're like, "I've got some carrots," right? And so more and more people come out and they see people giving just a little bit. And they say, "Well, you know, I've got something that I can put in that pot." And soon the whole village is out and they're all putting a little bit of what they have in the pot. And by the end of the book, they've got this huge pot of rich broth And they all sit out and enjoy it together. And the book says something magical started happening in the village. Each person opened their heart to give, and the next person gave even more. And I feel like that's what we do. You know, we provide the environment for people to come and feel safe. We provide an example of what it looks like to open the heart and to give. And that provides a sense of safety for others to open their hearts too. It's an incredible gift that we're giving when we show up and we offer this way. So another source that talks about this in a really beautiful way is a article written by Thanissaro Bhikkhu. And it's called The Economy of Gifts. And it's really talking about, you know, how monastics engage with the laity. But it ties right in with, you know, volunteering and practicing dana in this community as well. So he says, for the donors, those offering alms to the monastics, the alms round is a reminder that the monetary economy is not the only way to happiness. It helps to keep a society sane when there are monastics infiltrating the towns every morning, embodying an ethos very different from the dominant monetary economy. The gently subversive quality of this custom helps people to keep their values straight. So I really like that he points out here the gently subversive quality of offering without any expectation of return, because we tie so much to money. I mean, it's just it changes the way we think about things. You know, the roof over our heads is supported by our job. The clothes that we wear, the food that we eat, all ties back to this monetary economy. And the economy by gifts of offering freely and accepting what comes to you with gratitude is this reminder that we can live through our hearts rather than through this, you know, quantitative calculation of what my needs are and what I can afford and what I can't afford. And it's deeply healing, I think, to practice this way. Another topic is that the practice of generosity is actually, you know, throughout the suttas, considered a really essential part of the path. You know, considering the three poisons, greed, hatred, and delusion, generosity is, you know, the antidote or the counterbalance to that sense of greed. One way that I like to think of this is in life, there are always times where, you know, one feels closed off, certainly for me as well. And when I get into a really kind of closed off mood, the kind of internal process for me is kind of like, how am I going to do all the things that I need to do? Like how am I going to have the resources to do this? Or, you know, things are really going wrong. It's hard just to function. And I feel that contraction pulling me down, down, down. And what I've discovered has really been helpful for me is when I least feel like it, I try to go out and give something to somebody. You know, and it's like just like almost like working out a muscle. It's like when I do that and I'm able to like give something to somebody who really needs it, there's this weight that lifts off of me where it's like, oh, that's right. Like I can let go of all that identification that I hold with the troubles, the worries, all of that, and make a connection with another person. And the practice of that, the engaging with it over and over, is what's really, you know, there's a personally beneficial aspect to generosity, to giving, to dana. So as a practice, and this will be familiar to many of you that have been on retreats and heard these kinds of talks, but it's a really great opportunity, practicing generosity, for curiosity and investigation. So when you're giving, it's not always going to be the like heart opening, like, I love this, I'm making a beautiful connection, because sometimes it can feel a little bit like work to give when it's, you know, hard to give. And so the way that I practice with it is when I notice that there's that little bit of contraction, there's an opportunity to sense into, well, which side of that contraction am I on? Because sometimes it's a contraction of, I feel obligated to give more than I really have capacity for, or that's the sense of it, right? And so there's this feeling of like obligation, like, well, if I don't do this, then, you know, so and so won't be able to run this show tomorrow, or gosh, like I feel guilty for, you know, the good time I had, so I should give something to make up for that. There's this sense that you should give away because of an obligation of some sort. And then there's the other side where there's this impulse to reserve, like a feeling of like, I need to be able to keep enough for myself, so I'm not going to give quite as much, you know. And those can both be really helpful impulses, but there's also a lot of storytelling happening in both of those. And so I think that in practicing generosity and being curious about how we're engaging with it, we're able to unearth some really important aspects of how we identify with our resources, with our time, with our heart. And that curiosity and that practicing with that is how you get to that balance point of embodying the practice of letting go, of, you know, which is part of generosity at its core, is giving up something freely, open-heartedly, for the benefit of others. So there is a really beautiful, often quoted sutta that I'm sure all of you will recognize. It's in the Sutta Pitaka, and it goes, or part of it goes, if beings knew, as I know, the results of giving and sharing, they would not eat without having given, nor would the stain of selfishness overcome their minds. Even if it were their last bite, their last mouthful, they would not eat without having shared, if there were someone to receive their gift. But because beings do not know, as I know, the results of giving and sharing, they eat without having given. The stain of selfishness overcomes their minds. As I was rereading this, I felt like there's these two kind of themes going on in here that I think are worth talking a little bit more about. So I think that you could read this to say something like, gosh, if you knew how wonderfully impactful it is to give, you would never, you know, have a selfish thought again. You know, you would never you'd never like eat your food without sharing it, right? But I don't think that that's actually, you know, what is being shared here. I think that it's worth zooming in on this phrase. Because beings do not know as I know the results of giving and sharing, they eat without having given. So what I was pointing to earlier, and what I think this is pointing to, is the results of giving and sharing, the results of practicing with it, having that curiosity and practicing, is that it creates the conditions or leads to the conditions for selfishness to let go of us, to allow the heart to open. And when the heart is open, it becomes a natural thing to give and to volunteer, to provide dana, to live in that way, because that stain has let go of us. And I think it does also point to the other side of the results of giving and sharing, which is the impact that it has beyond you. So really, there's this double gift happening when we practice with generosity, with dana. To ourselves, we give this embodied, liberating practice that's helping us to learn how to embody an open heart. And to the Sangha, to our community, to those who receive, it's not just the gift of receiving something, but it's the gift of seeing somebody giving with that open heart that's deeply impactful and provides that sense of safety. And that's what we give to the Sangha. And with a bunch of like-minded people, we create this bubbling up, rippling effect of coming together to support the Dharma, to support liberation, and to support the freedom of all beings. So this is just such a powerful, beneficial practice, and I'm so honored to be part of this group of people that are dedicating so much energy and love and practice to making it happen. So, thank you.
All right, thank you, Adam. Beautiful talk. So before, I'm just going to share a few words, but maybe if you like to stretch for a moment or two, I know we've been sitting for a while, you're welcome to. All right, just a couple reflections on this whole topic of volunteering. So I'm a guiding teacher here at Seattle Insight, but it wasn't always so. I remember about 30 years ago when I started to come to these events and be part of the organization, I just came off the street, didn't really know anybody, and wasn't really paying attention to volunteering or anything like that. I just was trying to hear the Dharma, to listen as deeply as I could. And after a while, I started to realize that there's some kind of container that's making this happen. There must be someone who's setting up the chairs and greeting me and scheduling things and the website and all those things that happen behind the scenes. So it's kind of this growing awareness from just my kind of self-centered focus of just trying to learn the Dharma, to find my way through this, to actually start to see there's behind the scenes a community of people which is making this happen, a community of volunteers. And one of the unique things about Seattle Insight is we have a paid bookkeeper. We've had maybe for a while we had an operations person, but otherwise for 30 years we've been all volunteer. And so volunteers are there because they want to be there. You know, no one's paying them to be there. No one's forcing them to be there. They are acting from a place of generosity. So at some point in my own practice and growing up in Seattle Insight, I started to feel drawn to give back also. I forget, you know, exactly what it was. Maybe someone approached me and asked me. And I think about your own experience. When you first came to Seattle Insight, you know, you were, maybe didn't know anyone, or maybe you came with a friend. But somehow something was holding you, making it hopefully a welcoming environment. And from there, it started to grow. At some point, you took that next step to become a volunteer. I remember my biggest first step was to be a non-residential manager to actually manage the non-residential retreats for a year period, and to, you know, work with the volunteers, get the right volunteers, instruct them and train them. But most of all, trying to create this, the purpose was to create a welcoming environment for the retreat, to help the teacher be able to teach, to help the students to be able to learn. And that the yoga, or the tea yogi, the registration, all those things were just all supports of that. And sometimes it was seen and known, and sometimes in some ways the best ways I did it were unseen, were unknown. It was just a container that people just inhabited. So think about your own volunteering and how that is also happening. And there's this movement from before someone's a volunteer and becoming a volunteer. It's like this threshold that we step across to start to really become part of the organization, to become part of Seattle Insight. It becomes yours. You develop this sense of ownership. You know, if you, I just look around the room, you know, kind of seeing what people's roles are. You know, Cheryl with so many things. I don't know how many of you realize how much Cheryl does and has done. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, like, there's so much that's her caring hands have touched. You know, I see Cuba as a board president. I see my mom, the registrar. You know, so all these different roles, these little roles that we go through. And I'll go around, I could go around and share all these other things that people are doing. But it's these small ways, big ways, it all helps the organization come to life. But probably the biggest thing is when I work with a student, when I see them start to volunteer, I know that the Dharma is really taking root in their hearts. Because they want to give back. They want to move from this place of kind of self-focus, self-centeredness, really, of how do I solve this suffering in my heart? How do I calm this mind to wanting to help others? How can I help others create a sense of environment, of support, of container? So it's a deep, profound thing that you do as a volunteer. It's a very deep thing, and you may not always be seen or appreciated. And today is one of our ways we try to express that appreciation. And now it looks like we're moving into more specifically about some voices of appreciation from the different teams. I remember when we used to do these back in Rodney's era, and all the different leads would come up and acknowledge their teams. It was amazing to see how many things I wasn't aware was going on. It's like I had no idea that was going on. There's this whole group that's working. And just as it's today, there's groups, like how many people know who sends out the monthly email? Yeah, okay, Cheryl knows, right? But there's someone here in the room who sends out the monthly emails that makes that happen. Anastasia. Thank you, Anastasia. You know, how many people know who does the registration, who does the treasurer? I mean, there's so many different roles that come together. And this is a way of witnessing, acknowledging, and also just sharing that, well, we are really part of this much bigger process. So just adding my deep appreciation for each one of you and all that you give to Seattle Insight.
Getting better at wrangling this headset. I was telling Tim, I'm like so inelegant with it, but I'm figuring it out now. So yeah, we're going to move into some specific thanks and sharing from the volunteer leads. How are people doing? I know we did a quick stretch break. Should we do a 5-minute bio break, or things going all right? All right, we'll continue on. So, let me find it. There were some volunteer leads that could not make it here. So I have some prepared statements from them, if I can find them. There we go. So before I launch into that, I just want to say that again, we have done a lot in 2025 and up until this point. So just some numbers, which I was able to pull. We've had over 100 individual Dharma and community events. So that's basically a third of the days of the year there was something going on in this community. That is incredible. That's a lot of practice, a lot of goodwill. Over 60 weekly recurring practice offerings. So think Monday nights, Thursdays, like all the different things that we've got going on. More than 40 structured teaching sessions, including many day-longs, NRRs, non-residential retreats, that is, guest teacher sessions. Our quarterly intro classes, we opened the North Room, right? Was an accomplishment for this year, I believe, and have a growing social practice. Thank you, Christy, and your team. An expansion of our social media platforms as well. So those volunteers have been helping to expand that team. And then a shout out to some people that might otherwise not get a shout out because they are the leads, in fact. So to the board, thank you so much for everything that you do. That's Tim and Cubba and Steve, Sean Holmes, May, Judith, and Nana. Thanks for holding that organization together in that way. To our volunteer leads, I've got Carol, you do a lot of help for the intro courses. Ken, Yasahara, Cheryl, for all the things. Thank you. Anne, for our Monday night lead, for our volunteers on Monday nights, Martha, our registrars, and I don't know if you're comfortable being called the lead, but I'm going to say it anyway. Christy, thank you for wrangling our social group and setting that up. I think that's going to be a really wonderful addition. And also to all of our group facilitators and the both the local Dharma leaders, assistant teachers, and people that hold the space when there's not somebody else to do it. Thank you to all of them as well. And then let me read some of the statements provided, and then I'll, Cheryl, do we have a mic that we can pass around for those that want to? Great. So Ken wasn't able to make it today. But he wrote, thank you to our 2025 Zoom support volunteers, Bob, Carla, Kathy, Deb, Jackie, Kim, Malia, and Val. Last year, these volunteers helped make the Dharma available beyond the walls of our center by helping over 70 online or hybrid events run smoothly and protecting our online practice space. So thank you to them. Thank you also to our 2025 volunteer recording editors. That's Alan, Deb, Jim, John, LJ, and Nikhil. And welcome to our newest team member, Allison. Please take a moment to appreciate their behind-the-scenes work whenever you are listening to one of the over 220 recordings we posted to the website last year. Wow. I started to write down Martha's before I realized it was like a novel. So I'm going to read it from my phone. So much gratitude. A warm-hearted thank you to the registrars, new and experienced. This past year, experienced members of the team welcomed and oriented three new registrars, all while continuing to support more events than last year. The on-ramping of the registrars is a gradual process on purpose to give volunteers time to consider whether they really want to sign on after getting a good view of what they're signing on for. The team's ethos of no one suffers alone would not be possible without persistent care from the volunteers who have been around longer. Experienced registrars also pitch in on website redesign. I mean this Most affectionately, this is a little like a team of gardeners launching a rocket. But sincerity and long-term dedication and benevolence of involved others make amazing things possible. We may not be natural beta testers, but we care about getting people into the events and they are moved to attend, and how to collaborate with the other volunteers to do so. Newer members of this team are already intrinsic. They rapidly researched that event Zoom links can look deceptively live in an email but not actually be live, and what to do about it when attendees get a dead link moments before an event begins. I remember that. They are revising and updating the registrar manual, a crumbling, semi-accurate monument to the old ways, offering fresh eyes and energy to an unglamorous but utterly useful and necessary resource. And they are learning the ins and outs with good cheer and humor and patience, sometimes with a sick baby in their arms while doing so. Every registrar this year communicated with attendees one by one after an automated component of the registration system went under construction. Attendees who received event information this year often received it from a little old registrar typing their email address into the to line of an email and hitting send. We responded to lost items, pleas for help, and special scheduling requests when life lifed into other ways of someone attending an event as planned. We answered questions to help people decide if joining on a particular day was right for them. We reassured people that indeed the talks were being recorded and the Dharma would be made available on the website soon. That enlightenment would only be a couple clicks away in a couple of weeks. This team is a special mini sangha with generosity and warm-heartedness at its center. And it's an honor to be a part of it and to celebrate it today. With love from Martha. Thank you, registrars. And then Angie, who could also not be here, Ann Gehring, is our Monday night greeter coordinator. And she just said that she would like to thank the small but mighty volunteer group who supports the Monday night sits. They are responsive and flexible and deeply, deeply appreciated. So with that, I'd love to open it up for any of the volunteer leads that are in attendance that would like to say something on behalf of their group. And I know, Judith, online, I see your hand up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I work with a lot of people as communications director, and I made a list of all of them, and I was just amazed at how many people are involved in communicating either within the organization and to the community as a whole. So I just did want to thank the basic teams. Of course, first and foremost is Cheryl. As you said, I don't think anybody has to tell people how amazing Cheryl is. Her skills, her background, her dedication. She has been so helpful to me when I first started being communications director and I had no clue as to what I was doing. Well, she'd done it, so she was able to help me. And in the process, she's become a really good friend. So thank you, Cheryl. And she is, of course, still in charge of the website, the technical communications coordinator. And of course, as far as the website is concerned, we also have Ken, as you mentioned, and his team getting the talks online and also dealing with all of the Zoom events. And now we have Anastasia, as Tim mentioned, getting out the monthly announcements and also dealing with MailChimp. We have Ling, who is the content administrator, and Addie, who is now the calendar administrator, and some of these people are taking some of the load off of Cheryl, which is fantastic. And of course, we also have Caitlin, who is doing the quarterly newsletter. And when she took over this, it was like seamless. To me, it seemed to be. And we have our amazing social media team, Harry, Jillian, Justin, and Erica, and Carla, who has created our Discord account. So now we have a way for Sangha participants to communicate with each other. And the registrars, as you mentioned, Martha's team. I don't think it's ever been decided which category the registrars fall into, whether they're, because they use the website a lot, but they also interact with programs. So whatever, they were, Martha and Carol in particular were so helpful in redesigning the registration process, which I understand did not work always so well, and hopefully now will work better. And basically what I was thinking is that these volunteers are so resourceful and so reliable and so independent once they get going that they hardly need to be supervised. And so it's so wonderful to have a day like this where we formally say thank you. We do notice what you're doing. You are very much appreciated, and we cannot do this without you. So thank you.
I can follow up after Judith. Thank you, Judith. That was beautiful. I'm not sure where I should stand. Huh?
Come forward.
Okay. Well, the camera's right there. Yeah.
Because you put it there.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan helped. Anyway, that was beautiful, Judith. I won't need to, I want to face the room. I won't need to, you know, rename everybody, who, like Anastasia, who's here. Thank you for coming. I just want to say, you know, this year was a lot of work with, you know, with moving the website to a new developer, to help get it off of my plate was the goal, because I'm not even sure where to begin. One of the things I want, since Carol's in the room and after what Martha said and everything about the website, when I decided to build that website in 2020, I just had this trust that I would get the help that I needed from volunteers. And I did. And there was also a trust with the registrars that it took about 2 months to work with, you know, probably more, Carol remembers, to teach them this new registration system that I was building, that as I was building it. And anyway, there was a lot of trust. There's, you know, it's amazing practice, I think, that kind of community to come together and create something together. You know, it was really like that. And then Khaled, who's a developer, who's not here, but he was really integral. But now it's this new developer has taken a lot off my hands, but and Anastasia's one for sure. I just really, really appreciate, you know, what you've taken over, because I did it for, I don't know, about a year. And before you, there was a woman named Kelby who did it. So we've had some amazing volunteers over the years. And then Addie, who's taking over adding all the events, and that became kind of complicated with a new website. It was supposed to be easier, but initially it's complicated with all these new templates and stuff. And she's been a real trooper about it, you know, just all the detail that sometimes you have to take in and learn. Gosh, I'm going to forget something. The website rebuild. Then I don't want to forget the AV team. That's my other, really, my happy place is the AV team. But the website rebuild was a big, big job. And a big part of that job was editing the pages. And in May, I was kind of, you know, there's so much detail in words and getting them right and everything and making sure May and Judith and Oh my God, I know, I'm going to forget. Carrie, yeah. Between the three of them, I mean, that, you know, the whole website. And then Ling, you know, was helped me, you know, kind of put it all on the new website. So it was great. It's great having a website now that's really, really up to date. And it doesn't say Sims anywhere. Seattle Insight. So, yeah, it's, you know, it's cool. And it's, you know, it's a better website. And, we almost have a way to send emails without having to use Gmail anymore. It's coming very, very soon. What else? So the AV team. it's, you know, Adam is here. I just really, really, without the AV team, this doesn't happen. You know, we can't have hybrid meetings. You know, it's not possible. And that's our challenge for teacher self-serve meetings. It's not an easy thing to teach, and it's really not an easy thing to do, to be sitting up there with a mixer in your hand, you know, a mic in the other. So, yeah, but it's a really satisfying job, and it's a really fun job, and we have see, Adam and Nate Butler and Ryan, who's here too, and Addy is now taking it on, and we somebody new named Braden is going to be trained real soon. So the team keeps growing, and it's great. And we've had so many other. I remember the first. Maybe you remember her name. I was going to try and list all the volunteers I've ever worked with, and the first volunteer who took over doing setting up the hybrid when we were upstairs. Shortly after, you know, we started setting it. No, it was Dane DeBose's partner at the time, but I don't remember her name. But she was. I wanted to go on retreats. She said, "I'll do it." And you know, this is part of the other part of practice. I mean, I said practice. The other part of volunteering is it's practice. It's a great opportunity for practice, and it's, you know, I just feel like I've experienced so much growth, you know, since beginning to volunteer. But anyway. Whatever her name was, which I wish I could remember, we were setting everything up one night, and that thing was the actual, I don't know, the sound was coming out. It was set up differently, and it was going through the lightning cable. You know, it was going through the power thing, and it fell over, and the lightning cable broke off on it, and it's like, oh well, and I sat there kind of like, huh. and the volunteer, whose name I wish I could remember, said, "I am so impressed that you're just like not losing it right now." And I thought, "Wow, you know, I am too." So, you know, there we are. I mean, it's kind of like it's the practice. It's a beautiful community, and you know, like Tim was saying, we are the Sangha. You know, we are it, and. Yeah, we create together. So I've probably said enough. I appreciate everybody. And next.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl.
I don't know. Yeah, I did press the right button. Hey. I'm May, and as the board treasurer, I have a couple people I work with. And one, as Tim had mentioned, is our contractor who does a bookkeeping, gives us a second set of eyes and makes sure that balances are what they are supposed to be, balanced. And another very important volunteer in our group is the person who takes the money that people donate through Stripe, the registrar money for all their different events, and slots them in from Stripe and puts them into, I don't know, 30, 40 column spreadsheets. And she synthesizes that down to 10 lines that I can take and put into QuickBooks, and we can figure out where our money came in and where it's going. And Summer Hollis has done that. Hollis has done that job for 6 years, and we are forever grateful for her work. I think the registrars love her, And she is starting to hand that work off to another volunteer, Julie Clark. And that anything having to do with a lot of numbers and money takes a while training. So, but I wanted to particularly shout out Summer for all the work she's done behind the scenes. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jerry. Yeah, there's people that I want to thank that over the years, I've been around since it started. Greeters, all these events, people walking in the door, where is this? Where am I going? What do I have to do? And I say, hello. And there's been so many folks who have just been there to say hello. Managers of events. I mean, there's so many things that have to come together. All the pieces need to be in place. And, and May, I've seen you here a few times doing the manager work, and there's been a number of other. Thank you very personally, since you're right next door here. So, so helpful. Teachers, yeah. Yeah, it's nice to have words of wisdom coming from the front of the room. Appreciate that. And I just remember way back when, I think all these Zabutons and Zafus were handmade by volunteer work. So thank you for that. These chairs are arranged by volunteers. These lights were turned on by volunteers. Recently, I just worked and they have Kalyana meetup groups where people can gather in a group and, you know, either online or at somebody's home. It's a real nice support of the practice. And Valerie was a person who kind of worked, I think she worked with Carrie, and just kind of connected with this whole, I don't know how many, many, many people who were interested in gathering in Kalyana Mita. It was put together, and she said, okay, these are all the people. Okay, we need to training. How is this all happening? She organized all that. And it was just, she did it in such a gracious way. And I had communication with her. And it's basically, it's not only it being done, it has been done very graciously over the years by many people. And here we are. These little banners are hung, volunteers. You can't look without seeing, volunteer. Okay, enough said, I'll volunteer to stop.
I feel like this is sort of talking to each other about volunteering, and I wish or hope that we can bring this kind of thing to the whole Sangha. Does that make sense? Like, as a person who sits in Monday night meetings, it's like, this would be a great thing to hear about for people who aren't volunteering, who aren't, I don't know how to do it, or I just think that might be a really valuable thing.
I think it's a really good idea. I've thought about this, and one thing I thought about is it would actually be nice to have this event sometime and open it up to whoever would like to be here. Because I think that anybody who would like to come and talk about it and be thankful for our volunteer community, it would be a really wonderful thing to open it up. And it's been a while since we talked about, volunteer opportunities and highlighting that. But I wonder if there will be opportunities perhaps on Monday nights to carve out a little time to go over this. And that actually transitions quite nicely into kind of my closing statements about what we're going to be doing differently. Before I do that, is there anybody else that would like to say? Yeah.
So, a couple of things. I'm Cubba. I'm the president of the board. I want to thank all of you so much for being here. I want to thank Adam and Tim and whoever helped you with this. This is so beautiful, and I really appreciate it. And in light of what Leslie is saying, I want to say that when, Tim, you mentioned the tea yogis to the board, it might seem like that's a big distance. It's really not. And so if anybody here has an interest in, I like to think strategically, or I'm interested in the overview of the direction of the Sangha, come talk to me. Because there's all kinds of ways to contribute from the board position, and you guys are already closer in a certain kind of way, and we would love to have your input and yourselves here. Yeah, so thank you. And there's a couple board members here, too. Sean Holmes is on the board. May is on the board. Tim, of course, our guiding teacher is on the board. So talk to us when we convene. So thank you. Oh, yeah.
Did you? Oh, sorry.
Here you are talking.
My name is Carla, and I did not work on Discord. There must be another Carla. I just wanted to say that I'm kind of a professional volunteer. I do lots of volunteering, and it is Women's History Month, and it is so much women who do this work. And I think it's not acknowledged, and we're not supposed to say this or something, but women work so many volunteer jobs, do so much. So thank you, women.
Well, if you'll call upon Cheryl. I have a small job. I do the Zoom tech support job, so I can work from home, and I just love it. And you know, it's a small job, but sometimes it's not actually, but mostly it is, and. And to feel included in all this is so lovely, and I especially am grateful I could come today because I finally wanted to be with people that, you know, I benefit from their work. So thanks to you all.
Thank you, Kathy.
People have noticed that there is now a library in the north room. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. And Tim and I just happened to be there when the books were being moved over from the office to that space. So we got involved in developing the library. Wanted to say we're really happy for input about how it's working. It's really a self-service library. Jim and I, that's his name, Jim and I are the ones sort of behind the scenes. And Leslie Reed is the person who will send friendly reminders if you happen to have a book out for months and months. But we hope, we really would appreciate input and about how it's working, suggestions, and it's still a work in progress.
Thank you, Carol and Jim and Leslie for that. It's really exciting to have that going too.
I'm not sure how many people I should.
Yeah, we're just talking about the library is being utilized more and more for those online listening in. Well, thank you for all those reflections and you know, the gratitude shared. To close up, I just wanted to let you know a little bit about, you know, what is coming next from the volunteer program. Nana was going to speak to this, but he couldn't be here today. So I'll provide you with a little bit of a glimpse into some of the stuff that he's working on and I'm working on with him to kind of flesh this out more and provide more opportunities for, you know, engagement around this, both within the volunteer community and outside in the Sangha. So as I mentioned, there's more and more events, you know, coming up. We've got a lot of events that are we're hosting from within the LDL cohort or the assistant teachers, a lot of day-longs and other programming that way. So there will be lots of opportunities to engage in volunteer work this coming year. The other thing that I want to highlight is that we're working on a way to connect and orient both new volunteers and experienced volunteers. We'd like to have kind of a way to talk about what's coming up, what's changing, highlight different roles, because, you know, I've circulated through several different roles while I've been here. It's part of what keeps this fresh and engaging and fun. And, you know, the more roles I take on, those more it's like, wow, there's so much happening that supports the Sangha. So, you know, kind of a way to come together in smaller ways to look at what's happening and what's going on. And also to kind of, part of the aspiration is to provide an overview of, you know, the organizational history, you know, who's come before us, like how it's been built up. Because for some people, for some greeters, they come in and somebody, you know, they're greeting for the first time and somebody asks them about Rodney and they don't know who Rodney is, which makes sense because they've been here for 3 years. That's a long time, but they don't know the history. So kind of bringing some of that into the volunteer program, I think will be really nice. And again, that might be like quarterly or semi-annually online where we can get together and orient or discuss or highlight. And I think that'll be a really nice way to go. And we're continuing to work on kind of refining, updating, and defining standard practices, roles, and things like that on our website. Thanks to Cheryl for creating those portals. If anybody does not know about the portal, the volunteer portal or those resources, please let me know or let Cheryl know. We can get you hooked up into that system.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you should all have access. And it's just a good way to get the big picture. And it would be great to have some orientation materials on there.
Yeah, and that is coming slower than I would like it to. But it is coming.
It's the way it goes.
Yes, always.
Yeah, thanks.
So yeah, with that, thank you everybody for being here, for gathering. I'm so appreciative of this group and of this Sangha. And for anybody that can join us and stay in person, I'm sorry. I'd love to throw treats at the screen to everybody there, but I don't think Tim would very much like the mess that would create. But we do have treats in the North Room and tea set up. So please come join us and say hello and hang out for as long as you like.